The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Let's continue to worship God by hearing from Him. We have just addressed one another and God in singing. Now God addresses us through His holy word, which is part of us worshiping Him. Our passage this morning is Galatians chapter 3, and we are looking at Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 3, verses 6 through verse 9. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 6, let's now give our attention to God as He speaks to us in His Word. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This concludes the reading of God's Word. May God now be pleased to add His blessing to it. Well, a question that often comes up is how were saints in the Old Testament saved? They lived prior to the time of Jesus on the earth, prior to the cross, prior to Jesus offering up Himself as a sacrifice for sin and paying for sins. In full. Also, God put His people in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, the law, in which they were required to get circumcised. Some, seeing this, have taught that God's people under the Old Covenant were saved in a different way than we are today, or that God had two plans of salvation, one for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. However, in our passage today, Paul shows that there has always been one plan for salvation, one way of salvation, and that is through the hearing of faith. Paul, if you remember, is showing this in response to his critics in Galatia, who were teaching the need to be circumcised and become a Jew in order to be blessed and have a right standing with God and be part of His people. Remember that they were saying that Paul got his gospel from man. We get our teaching about circumcision through God. Look at the Old Testament. Read the Old Testament and you will see who is of God. So in the first two chapters, Paul reveals that he did not get his gospel from man, from those influential pillars of the church, the apostles, but rather by a direct revelation of the gospel through God. And Paul now turns to show that this gospel he proclaims is the same gospel in the Old Testament. Paul shows that Abraham, the father of the Jews and the first one to be circumcised, was justified by hearing with faith. Long before he was circumcised and before he did any works of the law, Abraham was justified by simply believing what he heard. This is the point that Paul is hammering in this entire chapter, Galatians 3, that we are justified before God and become Abraham's true children, children of God, sons of God, through faith alone. And that is the way it has always been. So two proofs that God's people have always been justified by faith alone is our outline for today. Two proofs that God's people have always been justified by faith alone. The first is Abraham's faith. And the second is Abraham's message. That is the message that Abraham heard. So first, Abraham's faith. Verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, as I hope to show, this verse is talking about justification by faith alone. Now, we have to remember what Paul has just got done saying. I know it's been a week, but this would have been all read in one sitting. Paul just got done saying, just got done asking a rhetorical question to the Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit? And if the Spirit works in them by their works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer is obvious. Hearing with faith. Believing the message that was given to them. And the reason Paul brings this up is because the reception of the Spirit is clear testimony that they are sons of God, that they are sons of Abraham. This is what Paul brings out in the next chapter in Galatians 4:6, where he says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Son of His Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." So upon being justified by faith alone, we become adopted sons, and therefore we receive the promised Holy Spirit. We receive the inheritance because that's what a son receives. He receives the inheritance from his Father. And that is the promised Holy Spirit. And so Paul asked the Galatians rhetorically, did you become a son and receive the promised Holy Spirit through your works? Or by simply hearing a message and believing it? The answer is obvious. Circumcision or any work of the law adds nothing to their sonship. And now Paul shows that it's always been by faith alone. Paul masterfully gives an example of hearing with faith from the father of the Jews, Abraham, in the first book of the Old Testament. Remember that Paul's critics were saying, Paul got his gospel from man, but we get our instruction from God. Just read the Bible. So Paul says, okay, let's play that game. Let me show you from that same Bible, from the Old Testament, my gospel. Paul quotes Genesis 15:6 here, which says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham believing God is another way of saying hearing with faith. Abraham didn't do anything. He simply heard a message from God and believed it. He took God at His word. He trusted that it was true and could be relied upon. And he was declared righteous. He did nothing. And this is faith. And Paul goes into more detail in Romans 4 about what faith looks like. And I think it would be helpful to turn there and to look at this for a moment. I turn back a couple of books to the book of Romans. A few books, actually. Romans chapter 4. And let's see what faith looks like. What is this faith that the instrument of which justifies us? Romans chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 3, where Paul quotes Genesis 15:6 as well. Here's that quote that Paul quotes in Galatians 3. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now Paul is going to explain this in verses 5 with an antithesis, two things that are opposites, two things that are contrasted. He says in verses 4 and 5, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. That's justice. That's works. The contrast in verse 5, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, so that is his not working, but believing in him who justifies the ungodly, this is counted as righteousness. Notice how Paul explains believing here, that is hearing with faith, in verse 5. It is the one who does not work, but believes. Faith is in contrast to works here. Not working, but simply believing, simply resting, simply believing what God says and taking Him at His word, that is faith. And it is to trust that He justifies. Remember what it means to justify. It means to declare righteous, to declare just, just as if I was always just and always obeyed God. That God considers us that way permanently. That's what it means to justify. And so it's to trustify that God justifies not the just, but the ungodly. Think about that for a moment. God calls righteous those who are ungodly. God officially considers righteous, perfect, holy, as if you had always obeyed and never disobeyed those who have not obeyed God for a single moment. But this is actually necessary to believe so that we don't rely on our works. Because if we do not believe that God justifies the ungodly, then we're going to think, I got to do something to stand before God righteous. God's just not going to justify. He's not just going to call me righteous when I'm ungodly. No, I got to be good. I got to do some works. I got to get my act together. God's going to cast me out unless I'm a good person. But Paul says the opposite here. God justifies. He declares just those who are not just. Through faith, by simply trusting this. And Paul continues to describe faith in verses 18 through 21. Jump over to verse 18. In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as has been told, so shall your offspring be. Now, I think the way the NAS translates this is best. In hope against hope, he believed. What Paul is saying is that Abraham believed when there was no hope, from a human perspective, where it was hopeless, where all hope was gone. Yet Abraham still believed God's promise that he would become a father of many nations, which means he would have to start having children. But here's the issue. He's 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. How many of you be thinking about having children at age 90? But look at Abraham's response in verse 19. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was barren. She wasn't able to have children up to this point. Abraham was 100 years old, and yet God comes and promises Abraham, you're going to have a child. And Abraham did not doubt God's promise. I believe the reason why God, who could have opened Sarah's womb at any point, waited until they were this old when Abraham's body was as good as dead, is because this shows us that God's promises come by God alone and not through the works of men. And this is a picture of our spiritual condition. We are dead spiritually in our trespasses and sins. And God's promises to us are fulfilled, not by us trying to do them, but simply through the hearing of faith. And we see that this is what Abraham did. He relied on God to do what he said, and that is faith. He looked at himself and says, I can't do this, but God promised it, and I believe that God will do it. That is faith. Verses 20 through 21 continues this. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Abraham's confidence was not in himself. Abraham was not believing in himself. We hear that a lot today in our culture, don't we? believe in yourself. That's not faith at all. Rather, as we see here, faith is to look away from yourself and to God. Abraham's confidence in the promises of God being fulfilled was not in himself, but in God doing it. That God is going to do what he says. And verse 21 really gets to the heart of faith, where it says, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is faith. Trusting that God will do what he has promised. My inability doesn't matter, because it's God who's going to do it, not myself. And this results in being counted righteous, as the rest of the quote going back to Galatians 3 says. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, what this is talking about is imputed righteousness. The word for counted here is the word for imputed. To impute means to credit, to reckon, to consider, or to count. This is what a credit card is all about. When you pay with credit rather than cash, what's happening is a debt is being credited to your account, being charged to your account. Or we could think of being at a restaurant, to think of this idea of imputation. We could think of when the waitress says, is this all going to be on one bill or separate? Let's say you're feeling really generous that day, and you say, put that on my bill. Put all of this on my bill. Well, that's imputation. You're asking the waitress to impute everyone's debt to your account, to transfer that to your account. That's imputation. You're being credited with that debt. Or the one I like to use for kids. Kids, your brother or your sister breaks something. Dad comes into the room and says, who broke this? And your sibling says, you did it. When you didn't, you're getting credit for something you didn't do. That's explaining this concept. Or your brother or your sister do the dishes. Your mom comes in so happy. Oh, who did such a nice thing? And you say, I did. When you didn't do it. You're taking credit for it. That's the idea here. Abraham is getting credit for something he didn't do. Abraham is getting credit for perfect obedience to the law by simply believing, hearing with faith. That is what's being described here, and that is what justification is. Abraham was counted or considered righteous, just as if he was just and has always perfectly obeyed God. But he didn't do it by actually obeying God. There is no work of obedience here. Rather, he simply believed what God said. He heard a message and believed it with faith, counted perfect. That is how somebody is justified, by faith alone. That's how Abraham was justified, and that is how we are justified today, apart from any works. When Abraham was considered righteous, he was still far from actually being righteous. You're go back to Genesis. If we were to continue reading in the next chapter, we would read how Abraham went on to commit adultery. He tried to fulfill the promise himself by going to his female servant and having a child with her. Later on, he lied to King Abimelech and told him that Sarah was his sister, thus exposing his wife to being violated. Rather than laying down his life for her, he exposed her to sin in order to protect himself. And he received a just rebuke from a pagan king. So even though Abraham was sinful, God still counted him as righteous, just as if he had always obeyed God, by simply hearing a message with faith. And this is exactly how we are justified as well. We do nothing but we hear the gospel, believe it, and God forever considers us perfect in His sight. There's no condemnation for us ever. This is why Paul goes on to say in verse 7, know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. We are Abraham's sons, his children, through faith in Christ and not by circumcision or any work of the law. And what Paul says here would have enraged these false teachers. Because Paul is calling these Gentiles, these non-Jews, sons of Abraham, even though they are not in his family tree. By doing this, he is calling them Jews. Think about it. What makes a Jew? It's that you are a son or child of Abraham, his offspring. And Paul is saying, this is what you are apart from actually becoming a Jew, apart from being circumcised, apart from becoming a Jewish proselyte beginning with circumcision. Ooh, this would have made these teachers mad in denying that the Jews have a special place because of their physical relation to Abraham. But Paul says that they are his children through faith in Christ when they emulate this faith of Abraham, being justified in the same way as Abraham in receiving his blessing. Just like Abraham, we simply believe, we trust God to do what he says, and are justified, treated as if we had always obeyed God, just as if we were just, apart from having actually obeyed him. Instead of working for our justification and righteous standing, we trust God for it. We trust that Christ provided all the righteousness we need in order to stand before God. So we hear a message, we hear good news. The good news that God the Son became a man, that he was born of a woman, born under the law, that he obeyed the law for us so that we would get credit for that obedience through faith. That he went to the cross, that he suffered that awful curse, that he paid for all our sins in full, that he drank the cup of God's wrath dry, so that there would be none of it left for us, but rather a cup of blessing forever. We are persuaded that Christ was raised from the dead to secure eternal life for us, that he is now seated at God's right hand, always living to make intercession for us. He is there at his right hand for us. So what happens when you sin? You know how we think? God's against me now. I got to get my act together. But the reality is, when we sin, we have somebody in heaven praying for us, interceding for us, on our side, praying for a greater measure of grace for us to overcome sin. And standing there as the one who has paid for sins in full. And so we believe Christ when he says that the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. We take God at his word when he says, I will remember your sins no more. We rest our confidence in these truths. We stake our eternal souls on Christ and his full and free and complete salvation. That he has done it all, leaving us with nothing to do as it pertains to our salvation, and knowing that he is more willing to save us than we are to ask for it. As Charles Spurgeon once said, upon a death I did not die, upon a life I did not live, I stake my whole eternity. This is what it means to be of faith. This is what it means to hear with faith. Like Abraham, you're justified by simply believing this, taking God at His word. Now, Abraham believed God for providing him with a child. Didn't he believe something else than we do? Did he believe the same thing? Did he believe the gospel? Well, this brings us to the second proof that God's people have always been justified by faith alone, and that is Abraham's message. That is the message he heard. Look at verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." If you notice, Paul gives the scripture personality, saying that the scripture, the writings, foresaw something that God would do and therefore said this. It's not as if the scripture is this fourth person, but rather because scripture is living and active as God's voice, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's no ordinary book. It's an encounter with the living God. But this statement, "In you shall all the nations be blessed," is from Genesis 12:3. Now, all nations does not refer to every single individual, but to a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, that is non-Jews, Gentiles. This blessing to all the nations would come through Abraham, particularly an offspring of his. And Paul says that the reason Scripture says, "And you shall all the nations be blessed," is because it foresaw God justifying the Gentiles by faith. And that means this blessing is justification by faith alone and all that comes with it. To not stand condemned, to be forgiven, to be acquitted of all your sins, to bear them no more, to be counted righteous, just as if you had always obeyed God, and therefore be adopted into His family, be His son, receive the inheritance of the new heavens and the new earth, of which the land of Canaan was a picture and type. To receive the down payment or pledge of our inheritance, which is the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in Ephesians 4. Having God within us now is God's guarantee and promise that we will be with Him forever. This is the blessing that was declared, and therefore this was God preaching the gospel beforehand, as Paul says. But how can this be preaching the gospel? Would Abraham even have recognized this? Well, ever since Genesis 3:15, where God made that first promise in the presence of Adam and Eve, in their hearing, that a seed, an offspring, a child of the woman, would crush the head of the serpent, and therefore reverse this curse. The people of God have been looking away from themselves and placing their full hope for redemption in this one offspring. Now back then they didn't know who exactly that was. But they were placing their hope for redemption in this offspring. And so when God told Abraham, "It is going to be through your offspring that you will be blessed, and not only you, but all nations, this blessing would exceed to all nations," Abraham understood that God was talking about this offspring who would bring redemption by crushing the serpent's head, reversing the curse, undoing the works of the devil, and bringing His blessings to all the families of the earth. This is why Jesus said in John 8:56, "Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Abraham saw it and was glad." Jesus is saying Abraham saw his day. He didn't have all the details, but he knew that one of his offspring would come and bring this blessing of redemption. He believed God. And Abraham knew that it would be by faith, because it would not be by his works, but the works of this offspring in whom he was placing his hope. So Abraham had the gospel preached to him. "An offspring of yours will bring this blessing. Put your hope in him." And Abraham simply believed it and was justified. And so Paul sums up this point in verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So those who place their hope for redemption in this one offspring, whom we now know to be Jesus of Nazareth, are blessed along with Abraham, receiving the same blessing as a free gift by simply believing. The blessing of Abraham, being justified, forgiven of all sins, counted righteous, having an inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth, comes only through faith apart from any works of our own. This is because these blessings come through His seed, in Him. It is in Christ that we receive every spiritual blessing. It is in Christ that all the promises, not just some for the Jews and some for the Gentiles, but as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. This has not come through any physical lineage, circumcision, or any works of the law. Rather, all these blessings come freely, fully, and forever by simply hearing the gospel and believing it in faith. So what does this mean for us? Children, let me first address you. Have you personally confessed your sin to God? Have you seen that you deserve to be punished by God because of your sin? That one bad attitude, one time you disobeyed your parents, one time you lied, that you deserve to be punished by God forever. You deserve to go to hell. And therefore, have you looked to Jesus to forgive you? Have you asked Him to forgive you? Have you believed what has been said? You cannot receive the blessing because your parents are Christians or because you come to church. Rather, you must in your own heart believe in Jesus and ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you. And He will. He is willing to forgive. And this is true of every one of you who have yet to repent of your sin by recognizing it as evil and turning to Christ by calling out to Him, asking Him to save you. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And believing that promise, you will be saved. And for all of us in here who have already believed, this is something we need to hear time and time and time again. Because our faith is weaker than we think. And our tendency to rely on ourselves is stronger than we think. Every time we despair over our sin, that we just can't admit it, that we excuse it, that we prefer to talk about sins of others rather than our own, it reveals that we have a tendency to rely on our own works rather than the mercy of God and the gospel. When we are easily offended, prone towards anger, make a big deal out of another's sins, keep a record of wrong that we hold against people, while not really seeing our sin as a big deal, talking more about other sins than our own, this reveals this insidious self-righteousness. If we find ourselves having a hard time showing mercy, it's because we view God's mercy towards us is so lightly. I didn't need much of it. I got my act together. Why can't you? I'm going to deal with you the way I see God deals with me. I've achieved a high standard. Why haven't you performed well enough to earn my acceptance? Oh, that reveals the disconnect with the gospel that's been proclaimed to us. That God does not count our trespasses against us. He has freely forgiven us. And the more and more we deeply understand that, the more we begin to show that same mercy. So may we lay hold of Christ all the more. Remember the simplicity of faith. Like Abraham, looking away from ourselves and looking to Christ, who is true to all His promises, whose promises are never dependent on our works of the law or anything we do, ever, but freely given to us through the hearing of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that you would help our unbelief, that we would cast ourselves all the more on the mercy that you have revealed to us, that we would see it all the more, O God, that you would open up our eyes all the more widely. Behold your glory, your mercy, your grace in the face of Christ, and that we would simply, like Abraham, believe it and know with confidence that you justify those through faith alone. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.